The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, أو you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
The audience of IRB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Ja'far Ja'far.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to His kindness and mercy that He gives us these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We then send our congratulatory messages to our 12th and living Imam Al-Hujja Ajalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif and to each and every one of you as we gather on this night to celebrate the birth anniversary of two brothers who are forever linked both in their birth dates and in their amazing sacrifices that they made in the stands for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Our third holy Imam, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, and Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas alayhim afdalu salatu was salam. Allahumma salli ala Ad wa Ali Muhammad. We pray to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that we can all go to the ziyarat of these great personalities in Karbala and that we receive his their shafa'at in the hereafter, inshallah. You know, two occasions, double the time. Yeah, I'm just letting you know. Yeah, sit back and enjoy their show, inshallah. Yeah, when we look at these two great personalities, you know, they're, you know, what makes Karbala eternal, you know, in my opinion, the fact that yes, there is a doing of God, there is the hand of God. Of course, nothing is beyond the hand of God. We understand that. But at the same time, from a very humanistic perspective, what makes the tragedy of Karbala and the event of Karbala and the personalities who were involved in the tragedy of Karbala eternal is the fact that no matter how we look at that event, no matter what emotional state we may be in, no matter what psychological state we may be in, no matter what physical state we may be in, we can tap into a new understanding and a new level from the tragedy of Karbala. Yeah, if a person is going through grief, they can look at Karbala. If a person is going through illness, they can look at Karbala. If a person is patient, they can look at Karbala. They are seeking something. Everything, yeah, is found in that tragedy of Karbala and in the event of Karbala. And the lesson that I want to take for today's discussion, when you look at the life of these great personalities, but in particular when we look at as a role model our third Imam, the one lesson that I think is important that we can apply to our lives, and again, like I just finished talking about, every lesson can be learned, you know, but the lesson that I want to take for today from the life of our third Imam is how to gain or attain happiness, saada. Yeah, because happiness is something I believe we are all looking for in some way or the other. You know, it's something that becomes a life goal, and we'll talk about what is this happiness. But you know, it's interesting that when we look at the life of our third Imam, especially when we recite the ziyarat of our third Imam, the ziyarat that we recite on the day of Arba'in. This is a ziyarat that's taught to us by our sixth Imam alayhi salam. And in this ziyarat, you know, as I was reading it, it's really interesting that twice the Imam mentions a quality of our third Imam, you know. And there are many qualities that he repeats, but the fact that he repeated this quality twice kind of stuck out, you know. Let me just read this passage to you. So the first passage, he says, Allahumma inni ashhadu annahu waliyuka wabnu waliyik. That, O Allah, I bear witness that He is your wali, the son of your wali. Yeah. Wa safiyuka wabnu safiyik. And He is the chosen one, the son of your chosen one. Al-fa'izu bi karamatik. He was successful because of the honor and blessings you bestowed upon him. Akramtahu bi shahada. You honored him with martyrdom. وَحَبَوْتَهُ بِالسَّعَادَةِ And you endued him, like you infused within him happiness. Saada. You know, interesting. It sticks out. Yeah? Because we just talked about how he was blessed with martyrdom, and generally we don't associate happiness with that. But in the very next phrase, the Imam alayhi salam says, وَحَبَوْتَهُ بِالسَّعَادَةِ And you endued him with happiness. And then a few passages later, the Imam alayhi salam, now the previous passage, he was addressing God, you know. But in the next passage, the Imam alayhi salam says, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ أَمِينُ اللَّهِ I bear witness that you are the trustee of Allah, وَابْنُ أَمِينِهِ And the son of his trustee. عِشْتَ سَعِيدًا وَمَضَيْتَ حَمِيدًا SubhanAllah, yeah. He says that you lived with happiness and you passed away in praiseworthiness. Twice, yeah, twice in a matter of a few passages, the Imam alayhi salam emphasizes this point that Imam al-Husayn lived a happy life, yeah, that he had reached the station of happiness. And you know, generally, like I said, I feel like in some ways, you know, the Imam alayhi salam is trying to make us understand the holistic beauty of Aba Abdullah, right? Because we end up compartmentalizing and automatically thinking about certain things with certain people. Because this is natural, it's very natural. What we're the natural response to certain things is not something that's bad if the thing, if the response is good, you know what I mean? So when we think about the third Imam, we think about his martyrdom. There's nothing wrong with that, you know? But the Imam alayhi salam says that there was a lot more to Hussein than just martyrdom. Yeah? That Hussein alayhi salam lived a life of happiness. Yeah? That he had reached the station where he had reached sa'ada, happiness. And this is something that is one of the goals of our existence, is to find the pathway to reach this station or this land of happiness. Now naturally, when we talk about this happiness, this sa'ada, this is not the happiness of the subjective nature of happiness that everyone is looking for, right? Because the subjective nature of happiness doesn't really exist, right? So for example, if all of us were asked what will make you happy, there might be 100 different answers of what makes us happy. That's a subjective happiness, right? And we know for a fact that if I today say this makes me happy, that might not be the thing that makes me happy a year from now, right? We understand that. And we also know that once I attain that happiness, it very well could be that I am willing to trade that happiness for something else if that would add more happiness to my life. So if I, for example, want money and I get money and money makes me happy, but tomorrow my health deteriorates, man, I'll give away all my money to get my health back. So that money wasn't really happiness, right? And that's the subjective nature of happiness. When you look at happiness from a subjective nature, it doesn't exist. Yeah, but from an objective nature, from the perspective of religion, from the perspective of Haqq, there is an objective happiness. There is an absolute happiness. And this world is there for us to plant the seeds and gain the tools that will earn us that happiness in Akhirah. Yeah? For that is happiness.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mateen شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل
لمحمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.